Item 12.1, grant timing and harmonisation. Georgetown Council is asking the GATT to harmonise the timing requirements of local government grant schemes with other grant funding agencies such as the federal government in order to reduce contradictory and conflicting expenditure and benchmark requirements. Well, that just seems to make common sense. Mm.
Good luck,
Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called tilting at windmills, I think.
That's right, yeah.
So does somebody wish to move for or against, that we vote for or against?
So, can you stop beating your wife, Chris?
Yes, common sense. Do you love your wife? Beat your mother?
You're going to move for
it? No.
I think he has a pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll leave it up to the delegate of the council to make
comments. No, you've got to decide what we're going to vote.
The idea is a good suggestion, but whether it gets through or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to move it, as I said. Look, move it if it ever happens, will then.
So that's a move. I've got a seconder.
Yeah, I'll second.
Councillor Brooks, thank you. All those in favour? No. Against? Carry. Okay, 13.1, dog control. Break a day, want to ask them?
Sorry? It's a move that we support that motion.
Okay. Do I have a seconder?
I'll do that.
Councillor Kinnunen, any discussion? I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? Mm. Against? Mm. Carry. That's what I'm marking. It's four. Right. Thank you. 13.2, another dog control one, that the GATT coordinate arrangements for more collaborative arrangements between local government and state compliance agencies with the responsibilities that include dog control and wildlife management and protection. Councillor Davis.
I'd speak through the motion before I make a comment, and this is with my day job hat on. The RSPCA is the compliance agents for dogs, but we're not state government, so having support the motion, but it needs to include all compliance agencies, just not the state government.
So we need to include, we need to ask for an amendment.
Can we
can ask for an amendment.
It says state compliance agencies with the government, we're not. We're the ones with the inspectors, but we're not state government.
Where is it?
So it's a great motion.
Second
line. It's got to include the RSPCA.
I'm in the wrong line. That's what. Okay. Oh.
What you have?
That's number.
Yeah, and if when you get to the motion there at the thing, I'm happy to vote for it, but it would be far more effective if the RSPCA were included.
So we're
the
ones with the inspectors.
Yes, we can. That's what I'm going to do.
I'll just comment on the previous one. I talked about programs for, you know, conservation of shorebirds and etc., coastal wildlife values. We have, you know, similar conflicts with our river and the rivers in relation to, you know, the bird life and, you know, lots of birds' life down on the river.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. We need to move in. You're moving.
No, seconding.
Were you seconding?
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to.
Okay. Now put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. The next one is from Georgetown Council. The GATT called on the state government to increase or share resourcing to local governments to meet the increasing EPA regulatory and compliance functions required to be provided by local government. This should include the resourcing and authorisation of council officers to facilitate illegal dumping enforcement on Crown land.
I'm happy to move that. I think they've missed the mark a little bit. They could have extended that out a little bit more, but anyway. Something a little bit. Something.
Crown and forestry land?
Yeah,
should
be.
Definitely
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Do I have a second though?
I'll second.
Yes. Are you happy
Crown
with
land.
It?
Sorry, forestry is Crown land.
So, yeah. Okay, I'll put that. We're voting for. I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Shipping containers. This is ours. Well, it looks like I need some arguments. Yes. Councillor Goss is seconding. All those in favour?
Sorry.
Councillor Calvert and Councillor Goss.
We already see you come back with a result on that one.
Yep.
Well, it might not be positive the way it's the GATT and the government have responded to our recommendation.
So it's not getting to the bottom of what the argument is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, more, when you look at Brighton, you come through Baghdad.
Oh. Without living in
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Family and sexual violence strategies, Georgetown Council putting the motion that I was going to put, that LGAT members support in principle the development of family and sexual violence strategies by local governments across the state.
I'm happy to move that because it goes exactly to the point that I made earlier.
And Councillor Lambert seconding that. That's exactly the recommendation I was preparing for the next meeting. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. The date of Australia Day. Burnley Council is asking that the GATT approach the state government to lobby the federal government for a change of date for Australia Day.
I'm against us getting involved in that full stop. I think it's a higher level and we just have got better things to do. We're in struggling with our budget with COVID and a whole heap of other things not getting done. We shouldn't be involved in that.
I'll second you.
You're moving, I'll second
you. I'll speak.
Yes.
I think this is, Councillor, and it's right, it's a big debate. I think reconciliation, and we supported a matter about reconciliation, we've got the flag flying. I think we're doing those directions. I think reconciliation is an important debate that's going on in our country, but it could take a few more years before something resolves out of that. Councils are getting involved in this. I don't think our ratepayers will be too enthusiastic about it.
So,
are
you voting against it?
The recommendation
is
to vote against it.
Could we abstain?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Rather than vote against it.
Yeah, I thought it was
abstain. Yeah.
You can
abstain. Well,
the mover and
seconder. I think that the suggestion that we actually, I mean, quite frankly, I think that there are the flying the flag, which we do, reconciliation is a long process and we support it 100%. Once you move the date, what date? Then there's a whole argument which date, what date. I think it'd be more better to move an amendment supporting the Premier of New South Wales' actual very common sense suggestion to change the national anthem by one word. It would be far more beneficial than arguing about a date. So I think we should just abstain from that. Right?
Then so the mover and seconder, do you wish to have it against or abstain? Councillor Cowan?
You want to go against.
Against? Okay, that's right. So that's the recommendation at the moment. And a couple of years ago when this came up, we did ask all the local district committees and it was even for or against. We had no real passionate. However, it's only been the 26th of January since 1988, so it's not that long. And it was changed a lot. Okay, so we're voting against. All those in favour?
Aye.
This is for us to vote at the meeting.
I'm voting against.
Against.
Yep.
As in, you want it to be against?
That was what he's voting.
Yes, and I just want to be clear. So you're voting for the recommendation?
They're voting for the recommendation.
No.
They're voting against.
You're voting against changing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. Right. So you're voting for the recommendation. Anyone against that? No. Right. Recommendation.
So you've only asked for people voting for.
And anyone against?
I'm voting against it. I'm voting against the motion to vote against.
Is anyone else voting against the motion to say against? Councillor Davis, Councillor Boss, Councillor Lambert, Councillor Polly, and actually on myself.
So
what's the verdict? The verdict is we've lost that one.
So I would now like to move.
The verdict is. The first recommendation was that we, at the meeting, I vote against. Or we, whoever's voted for us, we vote against. Well, that's lost now.
Councillor.
So we need another recommendation.
Are you sure it was lost?
Councillor Davis, Councillor Boss, Councillor Lambert, Councillor Polly and myself.
I'm going to move that we abstain.
Abstain, okay.
I'll second that motion.
And Councillor Evans is seconding. We abstain. I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
I put your hands up, those who are against, abstaining.
We'll all go against.
Yes. Councillor Calvert?
And Goss.
Councillor.
And Goss.
Brooks? Councillor Goss and Councillor Ginninen. That motion's passed. So we are abstaining.
So that's a new motion.
Yes, it was. Yes, Councillor Davis.
Okay, a lot of questions.
Yes. I just need to put a note in here so I know what I'm doing.
Right, so
I'll send you a list.
Okay, so some months ago I moved as a recommendation that council go to a gap with a motion to improve information with state growth, if you recall. It's not on there, and I'd like to know why.
I'd have to check, sorry, yeah.
Yep. Well, I'd like it on there because on this, you know, we just don't get information in a timely fashion from state growth. We, you know, 6 months to get replies and that sort of thing. I just don't think it's acceptable. And if you go back through the records, you'll find that I didn't do that.
Yes, no.
So I'd like to see it on there. Yep.
Okay, the next one is 15.2, Indigenous sites of significant signage. The Georgetown Council is asking that the GAP call on the state government to, where appropriate, support the identification, preservation and celebration of Indigenous places of importance across the municipalities of Tasmania. And there was some comment in amongst the reading that some Aboriginal communities do not necessarily want their places. So, Councillor Davis.
Well, I was going to make that comment because it's not a unanimous call from the Indigenous communities, and I'm somewhat flummoxed by the where appropriate. So I can't see what that's trying to do.
So are you putting a recommendation?
No, I haven't yet.
All right. Anyone else wish to speak?
I'm on the same page. I think it needs a bit more work on working out what it's done.
Councillor Calvert's suggestion, I'm happy just to follow.
You're moving that, Councillor Calvert?
Oh, I'm just
abstaining. Okay.
It's not a thing for much.
Then you better do that. Than,
yep.
Yeah. Because you're going to cause strife if we go one way and the other and we're not clear about what we're doing.
All right, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Brooks is against and Councillor Goss. I just want to write this again. Thank you. Oh, why isn't it going? That's the end of it. That's why it's not going. Right. We'll go back to that was the last one, wasn't it?
Yes.
Right, C&D 1 now. Monthly report, development services.
I move that the report be noted.
I'll second that.
Councillor Colley seconding. Councillor Goss. Yes. You've got a question?
You've got a question. I focused down. The question about the development report is that looking at the days of, I just wonder how a team group of partners are coping with all the masses of more building developments that's going on. We put more people on in building and maintenance. What are the time frames going on? I'm not sure if I really understand the report 100%, but it looks like that they're getting out towards 39, 40 days, and we're supposed to have it done in 42 days. Is there something we, I focus on questions from general manager, is there something we need to look at the future? Haven't we got enough resources here at the moment with the great influx of developments going on, domestically? Now, I know the commercial stuff has also been a bit slacker, but the domestic stuff going on. Haven't we got enough staff there? Do we need to support, just just what you feel about that generally?
I think generally we are reviewing the staffing levels, and that's something we'll be a further report perhaps we'll be looking at through the next budget process. But I think I may have also made mention that we have just recently gone out for a 6 month person for actually for support in the admin side with regards to building and planning department. So that's happening right at the moment. We also do bring in external support with regards to planners that come externally. They've been coming in, I think, every couple of weeks or so, one or two days a week, every couple of weeks, to supplement what's going on. But obviously the applications have gone up substantially. We've only done the 6 months, obviously, because we do need a budget consideration. We go out further for the admin support. But I think after that 6 months, we'll actually really be able to see exactly how, particularly in the building area, residential development and other developments, actually how many applications we actually are getting in the next 6 or 12 months. Things may slow down. They don't seem to be slowing down at the moment. They seem to build up and are continuing at a rate. So it'd be good for us if it is continuing like that, but again, that does put that strain on the department, as you mentioned, and I think we'll be definitely considering that in the next budget if that is the case.
What's really important, developments are really the heart of our community. When it's developments, if the officers can't get to it because they're just too busy, well, we need to act on that, not sit back and wait 6 months. We need to make some action on that. We need to be able to get development to as quickly as possible so that people can get moved on, so not built up. And I just hope we are supporting our staff in that area and we can do anything we can to support them in making sure we get a really good outcome for people that are fully employed applications, and also good outcomes for our staff as well, because we don't want them working under the pump and they can't get the work well done. I don't think that's fair either. We need to make sure that we support applicants and staff.
Well, we are short in a couple of areas. We're having discussions about a cadet planner, also a cadet engineer. Those are sort of things we're going to put in our next budget. In the meantime, we're going to supplement with regards to the consultants that we're actually using at the moment, and to ensure that we are meeting the requirements of our customers through the next 6 to 12 months. But definitely there will be a follow-up report to the council for the next budget process.
Just looking at the report, you need one of these ones within the 40-day, 39-40, so I think it's good if we do something about that.
Councillor Davis.
I had a question, Madam Mayor, and that's on page 40, with respect to the compliance permit review. I'm not clear as to what the data shown actually represents. It says below are tables of inspections and action taken for the financial year, and you've got 2018-19, 2019-20, and then this month. But we don't have a current financial year figure. So I'm comparing this month to what I assume is a full year for the other two sets of figures.
Mm, yeah, there should be an ongoing actual.
I think the years at the top are, I think it should be 2020,
2021.
Oh,
right.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll check that.
Okay, no further questions, queries. I'll put the recommendation that the report be noted. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Corp 1, monthly financial statement. Ms. Bickman.
Yes, I have one major change in the budget review this time, and that's to postpone Barton Road reconstruction. And supplement that with Green Rises Road for a similar amount of budget. The one in Barton Road has been put off because the highway works and trucks travelling on that road, and also we've got to remove trees and some land acquisition. So we'll go to the Green Rises Road, which is one of the supplementary projects, and then come back to Barton Road next year.
Councillor Goss.
I've just got a question about Green Rises Road. Is that going onto the next program? They've got a new development up there. I'm not sure if the planning is a great big shed. Something to do with the poppies, I think. I'm not sure if they're talking about something like the marijuana thing they're doing. I'm not sure. Is that... I'm not sure what it is there, but has that got any impact on Green Rises Road with traffic, that sort of stuff? I'm not sure if that's done. It's a really, really, really big shed, and it must have some kind of agricultural use on agricultural land. And with the new development of Green Rises Road, has the use of that building been included in that development? People have looked down and got any idea about Green Rises Road?
Yes, certainly we're aware of the building and it's gone through all the development approvals and makes the provisions of the scale in terms of access and parking.
And would our road people be aware of the skimming records for what can happen with that building, how many vehicle access can happen there, that stuff?
Records. Yeah. Yeah. Assessment with their applications,
Thank you. Councillor Davis.
This is just a procedural point, and I understand that pedants can be annoying, but I am a. On the page 44 of the report, in the summary of investments, this is the 16th of November report, we've got some rollovers due on the 31st of the 10th, so I assume they've rolled over.
Yes,
I do. It's the 16th of November report, it should be the 31st of the 10th.
This is as at the 31st of October. The report is as at the end of the month. Yep.
Okay, does someone wish to move the recommendation?
Happy to move the recommendation, then.
Councillor Adams is seconding. I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? Aye. Against? Aye. Carried. Corp 2, the Tasmania Municipal Emergency Management Plan.
Happy to move, we discuss.
The seconder? Councillor Adams? That recommendation. All those in favour? Against? Aye. Carried. Councillor Davis?
What a question. Probably something I've omitted to note. Who are these emergency management committee representatives? Can somebody tell me?
Yes, obviously the general manager is the emergency control officer. I'm the deputy. We have Merrill Street is our workplace health and safety officer. She's involved as well. And then we have Lorraine Green is the recovery officer. Natalie Horn is her deputy. And then we have a range of people that we invite from the departments into for our emergency management committee meetings, being the police, SES, TASFIRE, Red Cross, I think, and there's a list of...
So they're ex officio or they're on the committee?
They're invited, the organisations are invited and they send a representative.
That's the recovery.
That's the Northern Midlands Council Emergency Management Committee.
I'm just trying to get...
And of course the Mayor, I forgot.
I'm trying to get clear in my head who votes, who actually signs off on this plan. So is it... Those invited groups, are they voting committee members?
No, they will only give feedback.
Okay.
The council gives approval. Yeah. And then ultimately the Commissioner of Police will give approval.
Yeah.
And we've got statutory responsibilities under the state act.
Yeah.
I think we made the town hall available when you remember all that for the floods.
And the fires. Okay, does someone wish to move the recommendation?
No, just fire management and the fire emergency, that obviously becoming more important. A few years ago, we didn't have a fire management plan for places like Lake Lick. Have we got a fire management plan now for every bush prone area in our municipality or the fire service?
The fire services actually do those plans, and we certainly ask, because obviously they couldn't have them all done in UDOT, so we asked for our high risk areas, which was Lake Leek, Ross Arden, Epping Forest, those high risk areas, which have all been done and they're on our website.
Each one's on our website. Are there any to be done?
Well, there's probably not one for Longford or Perth or whatever, but it just depends on a statewide basis because the TAS Fire Commission has only got so many resources and they're just working through them.
Councillor Davis?
Yes,
Councillor Goss.
Have you been in back to the group or are they on there?
I don't believe they have, no.
Well, I think that there'll be a couple of good ones probably there to have there. If you could suggest some names, or there won't be other places in the world.
Well, I might look at the website and see what we have got, what we haven't got, eh?
Maybe she looks at it. There are some, they're pretty risky, living with money won't load in there.
Councillor Davis.
Look, I did read through this and, they're pretty much boilerplate, really. The only comment that I would make, and it's a passing comment, not necessarily a criticism or even a suggestion that we do something, is the increasing focus that we're seeing post-COVID around the importance of recognising animals as part of our social fabric, particularly in emergency situations. And I note that in here we've got references to Department of Health and, you know, a range of community welfare organisations. At some stage it would be, I think, important for us to write into our plan a recognition that the animal part of it is an important part, whether that be commercial farm animals or whether it be pets, but particularly domestic animals, because we know one of the greatest risks in bushfires, particularly, is people staying because they can't do anything with their pets. So some recognition at some stage, I think, would be a good thing.
And that's to have a plan where people can take a horse, fox, and kennels, those sort of things. I thought that would have been just about a part of that. And then there's the animal rescue people that usually look after the wildlife aspects of it. But,
yeah, that, the animals are certainly covered in the evacuation plans and also the recovery plans. There's a lot of suggestions about animals.
Does someone wish to move the recommendation?
I'll second it.
Yeah. Right. That's a policy. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Works 1, the proposal to split the collection dates of the waste and recycling in Perth over 2 days. Councillor Davis.
Move for discussion.
Yeah, I'll second.
Councillor Pickett is seconding. I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Councillor Davis.
I may be having a serious moment, but to me the table in the paper, and I'm happy to be corrected, is actually asked about. It says we're going to collect east of the main road on a Monday and west of the main road on the Friday, but the dates look like they're around the wrong one. So the 14th of the 12th says Perth West, which should be a Friday, and 14th of the 12th is actually a Monday. Sorry, pending.
So the recommendation just needs to inquire and check the dates.
Yes, just happy with it.
Yes. Right, so remove the recommendation, but we'll check the dates.
I'm happy to move the recommendation with the dates checked.
Yes, yeah. Dates checked, yes. And who? Which one of you is seconding?
I've still got one more point.
I need a seconder for this first. Councillor Goss, are you seconding?
I'll second.
Yes, right. Now, Councillor Davis.
I'm actually questioning also, Mayor, the proposal that Perth East have an actual garbage collection on Christmas Day. Is that really going to happen?
Yes.
Councillor
Goss. I'm just not sure why did a clarification on the theme of the proposal, but they talk about additional cost of $3,000. This company suggested the change, and the change is in their interest. Wouldn't they be covering the cost of the $3,000 if they want to change over? We're not putting the change forward. They've come to us and asked our favour, and we've got a cost of $3,000 in there. I'm quite happy to support the motion, but I think they should absorb that $3,000 cost in their cost for paying it around.
Okay.
have asked them to go back and ask them that. I haven't got the answer. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm happy to include that in the motion.
Councillor Lambert's next.
Yeah, I agree. I think exactly. They're the ones that have come to us with the suggestion that we're putting the bill. I think we probably have a contract with them for a certain amount. Is there anything in the contract that says that it's to be varied by any parties that costs, or
I'd have to go back and review that.
Because I'm not happy with that either.
Our
ratepayers shouldn't have to deal with that. Councillor Goss picked up my final point, and my comment was exactly as we've just discussed. It was their idea, they've got to do it, but there's no recognition in there of the cost that the council will now in letting all the ratepayers know it. So we have to, we have to be upfront about the fact that we're already doing a favour, and this cost that we will have to bear, it's only fair that they bear their share of it too.
Well, I think ultimately, in my understanding of this, we're actually looking at trying to keep our costs down and not spending them towards two trucks. So that's why they're looking at it, and obviously that's not going to happen now because we'd be looking at a new contract anyway. But I'll need to go back and check what can be varied actually in the contract. I think that needs to be reviewed. We may have no choice but to pay the additional amount, but clearly though, that I hear the suggestion is that why should we be paying that? I understand that.
Definitely. Although we've bought more houses on, that's what I thought.
Yeah, well it's increasing, that's why it's happening. Yeah.
More bids. It's on a bin basis.
So the mover and seconder are happy with those added words?
Yep.
Right, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Works 2, policy, no spray register. Mr. McCullough.
The report presented really comes down to property owners who request care to stop spraying in front of their properties on the public land, but prepare the plan of how they intend to control the area. We've had over the years where people don't want spraying in front of their properties. That's it. They request a lot to do it, and then just let everything grow up. So this comes back to, if they don't look after it, council can now resume responsibility and start using chemicals to go.
You're moving to discuss. Councillor Ginnin is seconding. All those in favour? Against? Carried.
I'm, Mayor, absolutely supportive of this on one condition, and that is that we recognise that we're going to have to check this. I mean, if we pass this resolution and then don't check it, we have a disaster on our hands. And I know Councillor Calvert will have a view on that strongly. There are many of the people that do not want spray will not manage their verges and their land properly. So if we're going to do this, we have to take it seriously. And this comes back to Councillor Calvert's continued comment, and one of which I'm 150% supportive of, that we need to focus more on our waste program.
Councillor Goss.
I was going to move the motion.
Well, you can do that.
I think they'll move the motion.
No, they've moved to discuss.
We're going to move to discuss.
Move the motion. Do you have a second there? Councillor Davis.
You wish to speak? Yes, I think there'll be a compliance cost for this, and we need to have compliance at a high level. That's on whatever it is that we have our regulatory processes for, and trying to achieve outcomes. And so there will be a cost to compliance for the government of Honduras.
I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Public question and statement time. We have some statements. What about the one from Candy who asked me? Do you want me to read it or you read it?
Yeah, whilst we're getting organised on that, I know we've had this discussion before, but I neglected to note the outcome. What's our policy about accepting papers like this or stuff like this on the day of a meeting? It makes it really difficult for councillors to be able to consider in any meaningful way the representations. The people take a lot of time to put together. I thought that we agreed that we weren't going to take them on the day.
No, sorry, no. It's up to 12 o'clock, and all they do. Sorry, not all they're doing. the individuals are making statements, and then there's questions that are asked, and the officers are then able to ask and answer those questions. If not, the officers then have to come back with the responses. That's how the process works.
But they are requesting that they be read out tonight. Mm. They've said that.
Because they usually get that opportunity when they attend.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no expectation we actually do anything other than sit here and listen to them to be read?
Yes. Yes.
We did have a policy with council, any item doesn't come to us on the day unless urgent, but over the time that has faded out, and now we seem to get more and more stuff through. I understand with COVID we haven't got a person up there asking the question, but I think it needs to be reasonable and fair, and that one at Perth there I think has gone past the mark. You know, when you've read your papers for the weekend, trying to get a bit of work done, and then this sort of activity comes in, it's easy missed.
But there's no urgency
to that. No.
That's right. That's right, but I mean, if this was a normal situation, they
would
be in here.
Well, maybe should be asked that they should be here by Friday. I mean, simple as that.
Do you think the building, the painting stuff is a bit different? Or?
Well, that probably is, but I'm saying that the question times are. I mean, they could have asked questions Friday, but they asked today.
This lady asked me Friday, could we read it out? Hi, my name is Candice Curran. I have lived in Ross for 6 years, and I use and volunteer at the pool every year. It would be so sad to lose it, as it is a wonderful asset to Ross. It brings the community together and visitors and tourists. One thing I find is so helpful with having the pool is for physio, as I have a bad back and it's so much easier to do strengthening exercises in the water. We as a community are trying to come up with ideas for fundraising every year so we're able to keep the pool. We are trying to plan at least 2 big events every year to bring people into our town for fundraising. I put my hand up to be the events organiser, which I will need help in what laws and restrictions there are. For example, we are wanting to have a kite flying day, a music festival, a pie eating competition, wheelbarrow Christmas float parade with barbecue and chocolate wheel. There will be big events which will bring in money, and then smaller ones which may only bring $100, but it all helps. Like at the moment, I'm running a Christmas wreath making competition, which is $5 to enter for adults and children. There'll be prizes and they can be sold after, with money going towards the pool. Not much, but it all helps. We're still brainstorming. We as a community are passionate about not losing the pool. We need it for mental healthiness, socialising and fitness. Thank you for your time, Candy. There's no others. Ready? Okay.
Yeah, no, well, there's a number of other statements and questions.
Yeah, but
2 pages.
Yeah,
well,
we're not reading them out. Are we reading them out?
Well, that's what I thought they do, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was my question. We've all had those things on our own arm. In most cases, twice, because
the respect they
sent
to us and you
sent them out too, and now we've got one put in front of us again. If they are only for the purposes of being read out, then I don't see that it's a useful thing for us to do, to actually sit here and listen to the mayor read them.
We can recommend that they get listed in the minutes.
Yes. And taken as read.
Perhaps Councillor Goss is first.
I'm not sure if I agree with that. If somebody, we've got public question time. If someone writes into our council and says, I want this read out in public question time, and it meets that time frame that comes in, whether it comes on Monday morning or Friday afternoon or 2 weeks ago, I think that we're obligated to read them out in public question time. We've got information in there again about what public question time is and where we serve. And if people want this stuff read out, I think that's fair enough. For example, our question is here. If we are keeping in our cold air books, the first one get to hear what people say, and I think that's probably important, to hear what people say, and maybe saying with other people who are in the room, group of officers and those sort of things, that they might have been privy to the email up there. I think that we should be required, if they've said to them in the time frame, I think we should be good with that.
Councillor Polly.
Yeah. I support what you're saying. I think that if it was back to normal meetings, they would come along themselves and read them out themselves. As they're unable to do that, although it's tedious, but I do think we should look at a policy of where it should be limited to so many at each meeting, because otherwise if we stay in this situation, you could have 2 dozen to be read out, and that's just not... particularly as they email them all to us anyway. So I support what the Deputy Mayor is saying, but I think we do need to come up with a policy of some limitation of how many each night whilst we're in this situation. Once we go to open council again, well then they can come along and ask their questions to as many as they like. It could get to a situation you could have 20 or 30 to read out.
Sorry, it's easy for me to read because the first one here is going to go more than 3 minutes, so under the rules of 3 minutes, at 3 minutes we stop.
Okay.
And then there's a number of questions. I can read the questions out and provide the responses the officers have done.
Councillor Lambert's next.
That's exactly what I was going to suggest, that we have in our normal council meetings, we have a 2 or 3 minute spell. That's it. And I think we should be reading them to that point, and that's it. But we should be reading them. These people have gone to a lot of trouble to express their opinions on various issues. And we are an open and transparent council who needs to listen to those, even though they've been sent to us. I mean, that doesn't matter. This is public question time, public statement time. This is where they should get to have their statements read out.
Councillor Calvin.
Under the rules.
Councillor Calvin, next week.
Five for support.
Councillor Davis, be quick.
I'm not suggesting that we don't hear them. What I'm becoming increasingly concerned about is I've now spent several hours today and over the weekend reading the representations that were sent to me directly, reading them when Gail comes in just to make sure that they're the same ones, and now listening to them here. So in a normal council meeting, when we're not in COVID, the person would stand up, they'd have 3 minutes to do it, and it would be over and done with. We are duplicating the duplication of the effort. I'm not suggesting we don't hear them, I'm not suggesting they don't get read out. I'm suggesting that we need to find a better way that's not absorbing inordinate amounts of staff time and our time to replicate things that are just, at this point only, tabled on the day for nothing more than to be read out.
Okay, now, gentlemen.
Sorry, I'd be more interested in hearing the questions that they ask and our answers than going through the whole details again, because we've heard that a dozen times. We might get to the questions and we might know what answers you're going to give them.
Well, you won't get to the questions.
So, I'd rather hear the questions and the answer to the questions.
I do. I will do.
Well, go through the questions?
Yeah.
This relates to obviously 32 Norfolk Street, Barbara Reeves, Dolly Napple, Johnson, descendant of board member MTWAC.org. Ms. Reeves submitted the following questions to be read and requested a response. Number one, according the Local Government Act 1993, has the NMC consulted, involved and been accountable to their residents and ratepayers, and was this subdivision an example of good luck governance? Obviously this is 32 Norfolk Street as suggested. The answer is, Council's planning authority formally considered a development application that required public notice direct to the adjoining property owners and advertising it in the Examiner newspaper. Number two, has the NMC been transparent and was it in the best interest of their residents and ratepayers purchasing land and Sheepwash Creek for development when it paid way above the value of the land when then required more than the ratepayers' funds to then subdivide, according to the Local Government Act 1993? Council sought an independent valuation, which Council does when they purchase properties. Three, has the community been properly consulted regarding this development and how it goes against the NMC's Heritage Code E13? Both applications were discretionary and went through public exhibition. The Heritage Code at E13 does not apply to this site. Number four, does the council believe it has social licence to cover the convict well indefinitely, making it no longer available to the community? Four, but the answer, sorry, the site was in private ownership prior to council purchase and will continue to be when sold, if sold. The well has been covered for safety reasons. It hasn't been filled in, it's been capped only. And using the word cap on occasions can lead people to think that you've actually filled it in. That's not the case. We put a concrete slab on the top. And there will be a cabinet covering over with regard to the certificate of title protected existence. There's another set of questions here as well from Lyndon O'Neill, Director of MT WAC as well. Mr O'Neill submitted the following questions to be read out and requesting a response. 1. Why hasn't the NMC already zoned the Norfolk Street area a heritage precinct according to an early plan of the Perth Township dating back to the 1820s and your heritage code E13? The officer's comments here, number 1, council's heritage precincts have been located to capture the majority of heritage listing places, which contribute to the creating a heritage streetscape within each town. The F2 heritage precinct specified area plan and the E13 heritage code applies to all properties within the precinct. The heritage code also applies to listed properties outside the precinct, and there's a plan here showing where that's identified on the plan.
Sorry, just to interrupt for a second, what does MTWAC stand for?
Well, it's an Aboriginal corporation. I don't see the breakdown for that here in what they've sent us. I don't think it's worth the requirements. Actually, I don't think that's been provided on the notes.
Just for the Chair, just for a question here. Just look back in the book about public questions and statements, and it says it's got to be in by 12 p.m. on Monday, 10th November. This one was still 10th, 12:38. So that's not long, so probably.
That was when it was sent to us, I think. I just have an administrative question again, so they understand this better. Is there a requirement for people to identify themselves as ratepayers?
Well,
they give their name and address if they're here.
Yeah.
But these aren't having addresses on them. I don't know who they are. So if we're going to do this, we should have the same requirements on written as we do on public.
Well, Madam Mayor, they have identified who they are. I just don't know the breakdown with regards to their title. So I can easily find that out. So I'll continue through this process I understand. We'll make sure those details are provided. Number 2, why do I need to apply for the existing when it's responsible with NMC to protect the precinct according to its heritage code? For example, please note at the ordinary meeting of the Longford Local District Committee held on the 4th of November 2020, the following motions were recorded for council consideration. 7.2 Streetscape, Wellington and Marlborough Streets, and within the heritage precincts, to outline a Longford Streetscape plan for the main thoroughfares through Longford within the heritage precinct.
What did that mean?
I don't know. No, I've read it out.
Yeah.
The response to that is the only way for a property to be locally listed is via an amendment to the planning scheme provisions. The Tasmanian Heritage Council has previously advised the property does not meet the criteria for entry as a place of state significance, namely 32 Norfolk Street. The well has been managed as a feature of local significance by placing the Part 5 agreement on the title to ensure it remains in situ and is not damaged by any future building works. Whatever all that meant. Before, not the answer, that is. 3, when will there be a public consultation process to examine further the heritage value of Norfolk Street as a precinct? Public consultation would occur if an amendment to locally list the site under the planning scheme was initiated. People have contacted us with regard to that and actually not taken any action to follow that through. 4, when are you going to abide by your own heritage code E13? The heritage code does not apply to the site.
They'll
get those answers, and we'll make sure that they'll be listed within the minutes. We'll also ensure, I think it'd be worthwhile to ensure by motion that the statements are also directly listed within the minutes as well. So it's there for everybody to see.
Right. Okay, we'll move on. The White Ribbon Oath. Now, there is no obligation for you to stand, but I wish to. Those that wish to, would you like to stand, then you will say the White Ribbon Oath. I will stand up, speak out and act to prevent men's violence against women. Council acting as a planning authority, Councillor Goss. Removing, can we move into planning? And Councillor Adams, all those in favour? Against, carried. And now, three statements to planning one.
Yes, Madam Mayor, there is one statement, and I believe that's been provided as well. Is that the one from Mr. Sanderson? Sorry, not statement one, sorry.
No, plan one, yeah.
Plan three, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so there's none for plan one.
Can hear myself.
Yeah. Okay, planning two, which is the CLO Street one.
No, I'll move to be discussed.
Oh, this is no, just a, this is just a statement to be
discussed.
As if it was a normal meeting.
It's in relation to both of them. Plan two.
Planning two. Just if there's any public statements for planning two.
Public statement that relates to both plan two and plan three.
Yes.
Recommendations of both applications for refusal based on the following grounds. Bushfire Preservation Management Plan provides that it's not addressed with federal funds from vulnerable users and proposed community residents do not comply with car park and sustainable transport code requirements. The recommendation for PLN 20176 includes grounds for refusal to not comply with the setback requirements. The requirements of seven parking spaces for each resident is considered onerous and unreasonable for a development, but that is where you do not drive. Car parking requirements for a dwelling to be more than two bedrooms is for two spaces. Car parking requirements for other residents to use one space per bedroom and two spaces per three bedrooms. The recommendation use the more severe option to require seven spaces. The requirement for these developments in southern region of schemes is for one space per staff member and one space for three licensed residents. These requirements for use of similar residents approved in the southeast state. The applicant proposes the following. Each resident will provide three parking spaces. The presentation of the plan will be provided for each site for the pushback and the required parts of vulnerable users and setbacks for lot 30 in order to meet scheme requirements. The applicant respectively requests that council accept the provision of three parking spaces and approves it to the application subject to conditions that the hazard management plan and setbacks are addressed to the satisfaction and approval of the council's development supervisor. Thank you, Ron.
That was all the ones to be read. Councillor Goss.
We have offered a question.
Yeah.
Regarding the statement they made, or we have
a no, before we go back to item one first.
Yeah, it was only if we were asking the person's question. Yeah, so we'll move to planning one now, and then you ask the question when you get to planning, whichever one you want, when we get to it.
Yeah, we're doing planning one first.
Okay, that's 81 Evandale Road, Western Junction. Yes, we've moved into it already. Yes. Councillor Cowell.
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there any discussion? All those in favour? Against? Carried. Planning two.
I move planning two be discussed.
I'll second it.
All those in favour? Against? Carried. Now, Councillor Boss.
So I just want to agree with anything about the debate here about. The statement says that the parking lot residue is one vote for bedroom two. It says that the recommendation used a more severe option to require seven spaces. So I asked the council office how they worked out how to get seven spaces.
So there's obviously the assessment against car parking system and transport code in the report, but I can certainly clarify in terms of the provisions there. So under the table E 6.1 in the car parking space requirements in code, there's separate requirements under the residential use class for dwellings, and then there's provisions for multiple dwellings, and then there's provisions for residential use in any other zone, or other residential uses in the general residential zone, and that's where a communal residence comes into play. So the provisions there are one space per bedroom, or two spaces per three bedroom, plus one bedroom space for five dwellings. Now,
the communal residence isn't considered a dwelling under the definition under the scheme, hence we've gone for one space per bedroom requirement. Obviously there is allowance to vary that provision if the relevant performance criteria of the scheme is met, which considers things like what the use is, an empirical assessment of car park in the area, zoning codes, a little bit more information on the performance criteria, public transport, reduction in demand in multiple uses on the site, streetscape, recommendations for impact assessment, heritage values and so on. So that's where any variation to that amount would be considered. Now, and they come back with two spaces, and under the assessment against performance criteria, that's then considered inadequate in the rating from before.
Councillor Polly.
Mayor, I strongly support not only this planning application but the next one that we're about to look at, and I support on the basis that there's a great need in this area for this sort of accommodation, and that it will provide for those people who are quite often the parents maintain them at home, and then as time progresses they are looking for accommodation from when they are no longer here. This provides that. It's a great service throughout the state. I intend to support or move that we support planning two, subject that each lot have three car parking spaces, a hazard management plan be provided for each site, or for this site, we're only dealing with this one at this stage, for bushfire prone area code requirements for vulnerable users, a setback on lot 30 be altered to meet the scheme requirements, and that there be a further point four, that there be a screening process where any privacy is imposed upon overlooking the other house. If we miss this opportunity, it may never come our way again. I formally move that.
Do I have a second, Councillor Davis?
Sorry, I didn't catch one.
Councillor Polly, Councillor Davis moved. Yes. Any further discussion? Councillor Boss.
My concern is about the car parking. Councillor Polly's points are very strong in this in our community, we do. But we do need to make sure have to make sure they meet the scheme as well. And there's statements here in the statements about other places. We don't know, they might not have any cars. We know in my conversation today they've got two cars which are parked in the complex. They're parked there, two cars. And then there's gonna be someone working there full time. So that's three cars. So three car park, as Councillor Polly suggested, is only going to cater to the ones that they know can be, not counting anybody else that comes to the site. And I'm sure people which will have visitors at some stage in their in those sites. So it does concern me. I'm not sure how we proceed, but making those conditions, but they accept those or don't accept those. If they don't accept them, that means it's go back to refusal. I'm not sure how that works. But I'll be listening to the meeting to see what else eventuates.
Councillor Ganim.
I think Councillor Goss raised the question of the plan. Is it possible, isn't it possible with what's been offered?
Certainly, council officer perspective, it would be preferable to see a revised design to ensure that any revised layout actually works on the site and can be accommodated. Certainly my suggestion, if council were concerned that a revised application would be for cost, and that and they waive the fees to allow a revised design to be submitted if the result was a refusal tonight. But ultimately, the decision is with council. I do suggest if it were to be approved that there be allowed for council to abstain conditions to the approval of that.
Yeah, look, I think Councillor Polly is correct. The service is required, and we would like to be in Perth, and I think that's fine. But I don't think we should be undermining the planners thoughts on what's required. I don't think we should be shortcutting the planners' ideas of how they normally progress a plan or project, and I don't think that we should be overriding that. I don't think it's good governance for this council to do that. If you look at parking, Councillor Polly, for one, very critical of the rubbish bins that litter the footpaths, yet you know, he's asking the council to supply a number of parking spots at the front of these dwellings instead of the owners having to do that. So a little bit of a contradiction. So from my perspective, I can't support it on those grounds. I certainly believe it's a service that's required, but it's not like a normal house that is permitted. This is discretionary, not permitted. It's a different thing completely, and I'll be voting, as the officer has indicated, their recommendations to refuse the application.
Councillor Davis.
I'm very happy to support the recommendation, the resolution with the provisos that Councillor Polly outlined. I think we need, as a council, to be very consistent in our decision making, and we have recent examples where we've had recommendations from our officers that have not complied with this sort of requirement. Yeah. And I don't think that's doing us any favours at all. The house two doors up from me has 7 cars in it. It's a residential property. We don't require any special requirements around that for parking. They're parked on the street, they're parked on the footpath, and they're parked on their front lawn. In the new subdivision around the back from me, the first people that moved in there already are parking cars on the nature strip. We don't make these requirements on other people, and I don't see why we should be going to a maximum subjective call on this particular development. So I argue on this basis, we put the provisos in there on that proposed conditioning. If they can't meet those, then the application can be withdrawn. That gives the planning officers the chance to review a revised submission and then to consider that on its merits when it comes back to us. I'd also make one other suggestion, and that's pending the outcome of this. Whatever the outcome of this resolution, I'll be moving a motion to say that if there's a further application, that we waive fees for it.
Councillor Goss.
I want to move the movement, just going on what the officer said about asking to resubmit the application, and that we would waive any fees for that resubmission application. And the reason I'm saying that is that, one, that opens the opportunity for the planners to have input into that process, and also hopefully we can get a resolution that would make everybody happy with what's going to happen there, instead of passing what the motion is there now, and the motion is what is now, is really they take that or nothing. And maybe they need to have it some time and talk about that with the planners and make sure it is right.
Do I have a second to the amendment? Councillor Calvert, seconding that.
Can I speak to the amendment?
Sorry, we may need refusal up front, is that correct?
Yeah, that's what the...
Yeah, take that as being a refusal. Yeah, sorry.
So this is right, we can just move
just
to the amendment.
Confirm that.
Councillor Polly?
I oppose the amendment. I've spoken with the people tonight, and I suggested the signal sort of... unfortunately, there's an urgency about finding placements for these people, and that it's just not possible for them to. And I understand that the planning officers rang the people concerned and asked, or would they consider withdrawing it? And I understand the message back was no. So for that reason, I stick to my original resolution. I think it's now or never.
Councillor Adams.
Yeah, I oppose the amendment as well. It's a cop out on the issues that we need to resolve. Next to me in Pakenham Street, blocks away, is a house that's owned by agricultural contractors from the east, from the west coast, from the northwest coast. People go in there. It's now got one family, but 6 months ago, you know, I used to have 5 utes out the front, parking on the footpath as well, up on the nature strip. It doesn't really worry me. I worry about, you know, as a good councillor, what's going on with the footpath and infrastructure, but that's just life. And with the fire pit in the backyard, and the boys having a few beers, but they work hard and they go to bed pretty early. So, but you know, this argument that 7 car parks It's just a reason to try and force it back. We're making decisions, Councillor Davis said. We're making decisions here constantly using different methods in our planning scheme to meet what we think, you know, and we get these recommendations from the planning department, which I'm not very happy with, constantly, and then a total flip on the other side and whatever. I think this is a very important reason to have in our municipality. It's going to serve a very important social necessity, and I will certainly be opposed to the amendment and support the motion moved by Councillor.
Okay, I'll put that amendment. All those in favour?
Aye.
All those against?
No.
So it's Councillor Polly, Councillor Lambert, Councillor Davis, Councillor Adams and myself. Amendment's lost, so we'll go back to the original motion, the one that Councillor Polly put. I'll put that.
Which is what?
Which
so
is their inclusion of
three
car parking spaces, performance criteria of the bushfire prone areas code,
screening
process. And I suggest we add the standard conditions as well.
Yeah, so and the setback on block 30 to be set back in accordance with the to meet the scheme requirements.
If I could just make a note there, that I think that would be actually impossible to achieve with the current layout.
That's up to them to make that call.
It's not your responsibility.
Well, Madam Mayor, I think sorry.
The gentleman wishes to say something.
Sorry, the officers are here to give advice.
Yeah.
And they have the responsibility to do that, and I remind everybody of that. End of the day, no one needs you to make your own decisions, but with a bit of respect each way from all of us.
If the officers are advised to leave that out, I'm happy to leave it out.
I think other thing that's been taken into account from the officers as well, as mentioned previously as well, is that if there's major changes to development, the actual adjoining property owners have every right to be consulted on those changes.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to leave that part out.
The last one.
The section relating to meeting the scheme requirements setting back 30. Yeah, so I'm happy with as it is there.
Final discretion. There's no setback.
It was suggested earlier too that we add standard conditions.
Sorry?
That standard conditions be added.
Okay, well, maybe that's the time.
Okay. Was there any further discussion?
Just a question again about the representation. Do they need to know that we've changed it at all or not?
They'll be made aware. There'll be a process that I've made aware. They'll have the right to obviously to object and go through a formal process to appeal the decision of council.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Those against, put your hand up please. Councillor Ganinan, Councillor Goss, Councillor Brooks and Councillor Calvert. The motion's carried.
Mayor, I then suggested that I would like to move a motion that if this comes back to us and is required to resubmit, that we let the applicants know we would waive fees for a further submission.
A seconder for that motion? Councillor Adams?
Well, I've come the officer's concerns, I would think, that we don't know.
All those in favour? Against? Carried. Planning 3, Fairlow Street.
Do you I move to discuss.
Councillor Polly, Councillor Ganinan, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried.
And I'll move the same resolution I moved before and ask Councillor to support it.
And I'll also second the same resolution that Councillor Polly moved before.
Any further discussion, Councillor Goss?
Just I want to make clear that this particular one's in a cul-de-sac,
correct,
which makes the parking
concerns even more people on the community living in that end of that cul-de-sac. Hence I won't be supporting that motion.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
So put your hands up, please. It goes against Councillor Goss, Councillor Brooks, and Councillor Calvert, and Councillor Ganinan. The motion's carried.
I'd also move the motion I moved previously.
Yes,
if this comes back for further application, Councillor Wade, please.
And is there a seconder, please? Councillor Goss. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Move out of planning. Have a seconder, Councillor Davis. All those in favour, against, carried. Right, moving to committee, Councillor Ganinan and Councillor Davis. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Right, close, Councillor.